Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I'm becoming far behind this week because I didn't read much. And I just got back from Arizona last weekend where we flew out on a Friday and got back on a Monday. And it was sort of just to go to this Hawaiian festival, which was pretty damn awesome. I ate a lot of freaking food. And saw a lot of hula dancing and Hawaiian singing and ate a lot of Hawaiian food and went to a Renaissance Festival and hung out with the wenches and ate turkey on a stick and beef on a stick and fish and chips and all kinds of good stuff at a, and saw a bunch of shows. Saw a bird show, which I love birds, and it was really cool because they were losing control of the hawks and vultures, and it was pretty funny. But we also saw like this living fountain, which was this actress woman who was a f she was painted like a statue, and she moved exactly like a statue, and they played like Renaissance music. And she had this dress where it was like a pump at the bottom of her dress, and she'd be in like a fountain, and it would be able to shoot water out of her hands and shoot water out of her head and all kinds of different areas. So that was really cool. I saw a lot of juggling and like comedic juggling, and tried another burger joint, ate some soul food, gained about 7 pounds. Came back and now I'm getting back to my normal weight. But I didn't read much, even at night. I think I went with every intent of taking my iPad and reading at night like I usually do, but I actually slept better. Maybe it's 'cause I need to be on vacation more. Maybe I need to step away from work for a while 'cause it was a lot more relaxing. I just got back from taking Harley for a walk. A couple things I wanted to talk about, some recent acquisitions. The comic shop I went to had a whole box of romance comics, and it was tempting not just to, I mean, it was hard not to just buy the whole box. There was a few Marvel romance titles, and I don't have many Marvel romance titles. All the romance titles that I've been focusing on are DC sort of related. I have a few Charlton, but Charlton had a lot of romance comics, and man, this box had a lot. And I decided to focus on just the DC ones. So I picked up about $60 to $80 worth of romance comics. So a good chunk of romance comics. And I am trying to fill like all the DC comics since 1973. So it's part of a goal. Even though some of these were pre-1973. And one of them is definitely my oldest romance comic. It was a 10-cent a romance comic from DC. And what's amazing is how many romance books they sold back in the day, and I've talked about this in the past. The history of these books is just fascinating. These stories are all about falling in love and having problems, and the letters pages are like, "Dear Abby, hey, I met this boy and I'm dating another boy and I love my current boyfriend, but this other boyfriend I'm really into, what should I do?" All these kind of crazy things, crazy situations. And I get a kick out of them. And there really isn't a lot of romance comics to be had. I mean, the last one that I remember is Dead Man Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love, which was a combination of a romance title and a horror, which that's what Dark Mansion of Forbidden Love was. And Sarah Vaughan has a knack for writing that kind of stuff because she does similar type stories with one of the Luna brothers. And she's currently writing, I think it's Sleepless. Maybe that's her. I think it is, from Image Comics. So I'll always look for Sarah Vaughan because Even when I IM'd her one time on Facebook, like I'm not friends with her, but I was like, hey, this Dead Man story was absolutely fantastic. And I love Dead Man. But that deluxe format series was just out of the it was like a 5 out of 5. It's so damn good. And absolutely loved it. So I IM'd her. And I saw that when she replied back to me, her background was a stack of like romance comics. So I'm like, hey, that's cool. That's where she gets it from. She reads a lot of romance comics. Some other things that I picked up is I'm almost, I think I am done. A matter of fact, I'll check this live because I picked up two more. Last week I picked up a bunch of Howard the Ducks. In about fine condition, maybe a little bit more of volume one. And this is something I discovered on comics, sorry, Marvel Unlimited. I've always wanted to read it. Those of you that know me know I'm a huge Defenders fan for Steve Gerber. So a couple of months ago, maybe 6 months ago, I started reading a bunch of Man-Thing, Adventures into Fear. And Howard the Duck, and it made me say, why aren't these in my collection? Why don't I have physical copies? Because I love them so much. And I went on a tear, and I got number 1 through 3 or something. Maybe it was 1 through 6 on mycomicshop.com, my favorite place to go. And since then, I went to the comic shop, and he was having a 40% off sale for box customers because he has an extra bill this month and he wanted to pay down, so he gave me an extra discount. And I picked up the majority of Howard the Ducks. And then yesterday, when I inventoried them last week, I said, oh, I'm missing a few. And sure enough, I picked up 13 and 14. And these ones I've already read. I've read, I think the last ish, the one I read was 14, and it has to do with the Son of Satan, who's also one of my favorite Marvel characters. Because in college, I've always been like, if you know me, some of my favorite stories are religion based, like Phantom Stranger, and I've always been piqued by Damien Hellstorm, which is the Son of Satan. In college, I went and picked up all his Marvel spotlights and premieres or whatever he was in. He was in the Defenders too, by the way, so I already had a love for the character. And then I picked up his solo series in the 70s. It's amazing that this series ever came out, but they got heavy into the demonic stuff in the 70s with Ghost Rider and Son of Satan and Satana in the magazines and all that kind of stuff. You're gonna hear a bunch of wind. It's the wind right today is about 60 miles an hour, and Harley's yelling at me saying, "Let me in," and she's got grass all over her, so I have to go outside. You're gonna hear the 60 mile an hour winds, and then I have to dust my ass and then come back inside and finish doing what I'm doing because she takes. I haven't set the sprinklers on yet because it's still freezing, and I like to water on the weekends if I'll get a chance in the spring, but I haven't had a chance yet. I turn on the sprinklers and then flush them again, and it's so dry now that all the East Coast is getting all the snowstorms and we're not. It should make for an interesting spring. If we get hammered, or we're gonna have a really dry and potentially really bad fire season this year if we don't get any moisture. So as a tangent, we were talking about Son of Satan, and I picked up those two, so I added them to my database, and I do have a full run, including the annual. So I just completed my Howard the Duck run. Very cool. And I was going through his box, and what was I getting? I was going through his H's. Oh, I picked up a Hulk versus Thing deluxe formatted comic book that was in the 90s or early 2000s. Matter of fact, I'll look it up right now because this, I never seen this before. The guy at the comic shop was working his way through ages, and that's where I saw this book because he had them all out, and I was like, It's a Hulk versus Thing. It was published in 1999 and collects a lot of the key issues, including Fantastic Four number 24, 26, 112, and Marvel Feature number 11. So, that was a cool book to find. At least I know it's a reprint, but it was a really cool book to find, and I found it for really cheap. And my database is real conservative and says $8. And then I realized I didn't have the Incredible Hulk versus Superman. And this is a Steve Rude book that I didn't buy, written by Roger Stern and drawn by Steve Rude, and I picked that up, and really good deal on that. This past week, this one I don't know if I already have. If I have it, I have two of them, but it's a Batman colon Bullock's Law, and I don't have it, so I did a good job in picking that up, and it's one issue by Chuck Dixon and Flint Henry. So I was glad I picked this up. Sometimes I get into these modes, not in the last 6 years, maybe seven, maybe eight. I think about 8 years ago, I decided I'll never miss a DC issue again, and I just started buying everything that comes out. Kids' books, Vertigo, everything. But before that, I was more logical. I was like, you know what? I'll just stick with Batman and Detective and let some of these other ones go. And I missed a lot of one shots and stuff like that. And this one I picked up, and it looks to be a winner. I look forward to reading it. The next one I've read recently, and I may have it or may not have it if my database comes back. It says not responding, believe it or not. But it's Our Fighting, and I'm typing as I'm going. But it's a Jack Kirby Our Fighting Forces, and I read this because I own all the Jack Kirby hardcovers, and The Losers is some of the stuff that I've been recently. It's an oddball title, it really is. Like, I don't know if I like it that much, but it's so fascinating. And then plus he draws like the artillery in the back, which is really cool because it's like historical artillery. But they're such an odd group. And they really just plant themselves in weird situations and then come out. They're called the losers for a reason. They get thrown in these situations, they have to deal with them, and they don't always win. They go sometimes lose. But this one I also hit gold with because I don't own it. This one probably is in, it's probably in fine condition. I'm gonna give it very fine. But I do need to fill these, especially the Jack Kirby issues, and there's a handful of them, and I only own two now. Let's see, Jack started drawing in 151, and he went on pretty far. He went out to 162 of Our Fighting Forces, and some were written by him. Some of them were not written by him, especially the early ones. Once he got going, he got the title down. But they didn't have any more of the Jack Kirby issues. But I did find another Our Fighting Forces, and this is number 136. And this looks like it's a Joe Kubert cover for sure. And let's see. That is Rob Kanigher, who wrote almost all of them, with art by John Severin, Frank Thorne, Joe Kubert, Russ Heath. So it's like a deluxe. It's a reprint, but there might be an original story with some of these. This one here is not in the greatest of shape. It could be. It's got like a little bit of a spine roll, not much, because it's one of those 52-page giants. even says in the cover, it says this Nazi guy has a guy pinned to a post and his arms are hanging, and he goes, "You win, I will release the prisoner. Come and take him." And he drops the gun, and it says one of the at the bottom is he says he's letting the losers come towards him. Johnny Cloud and Sonner, Gunner and Sarge are on the cover, and there's a threshold, there's a door on that threshold, and there's a bunch of Nazis right above the door, and as soon as they pass past the threshold, they have their guns ready, da 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 da, shoot 'em. And then here it says at the bottom, question, is Captain Storm really dead? And he's not on the cover in this particular issue. It's just Cloud and Gunner and Sarge. So should be an interesting one. I'm going to rate that one a fine. If I sold it, I would sell it as a VG just because I don't. If it goes on eBay, then this is a beautiful cover, and I think it's misgraded. At the comic shop I go, Ed's Cards and Comics, he's got two guys that bag and board a lot of books for him, and they are anal retentive, like extremely anal retentive in flaws. Like I even think they grade harder than CGC or CBC, whatever grade. But I've been on this weird kick where the Legion, which is one of the my weak spots in the DC universe, at least prior to probably 1985, and then I started buying it, but I've never been a huge fan, but I'm starting to get into it a lot. I've been wanting to go after first appearances of Legion characters, but this one isn't that. I am bidding on one though on Comixology. I mean, not Comixology, Comic Link, which would be my first comically purchase. But I'll tell you right now, with Comic Link, everything is CGC, and you know how I feel about CGC. I like CGC to buy and then crack them open because I want to read it, and I want it in a, like a sort of guaranteed state, guaranteed grade, I mean. And they, if you don't get graded and you can't see it, you can't physically see it, like you're at a convention or at a store and you can't take it out of the bag and inspect it. It's almost good to go with a CGC, so you're sort of some kind of guarantee and some kind of protection for that book. So I opened up a Comic Link account, and I'm bidding on three books right now. One of them is a Plastic Man book because I own about eight Plastic Man Golden Age comics, a couple of police comics, and a couple of his own title, and then everything after Golden Age I own of Plastic Man. So I like love Plastic Man. There might be one Plastic Man special I'm missing, but it was a reprint. But I where was I going with the Plastic Man? Oh, that's one book I'm bidding on. That one I was already outbid on, but I'm bidding real conservative. I'm just hoping I can get one luckily rather than I don't want to spend a CGC or CBC price. So I know what the books are sort of worth on mycomicshop.com, and which I could go to, or some of the other stuff on eBay. So I don't want to go beyond that, and I want to even come under. And I use my database pricing a lot to bid. What was the other one? Oh, the other one I'm going after is an Amazing Adventures, the first appearance of the Hairy Beast, the Furred Beast. And I know that my co-host on Retrocast, Rob Krieger, has it, and I've been trying to fill in the Amazing Adventures, because the first arc is the first when it started. It is the Inhumans, is the first part of the comic, and the second back part is the Black Widow, and they're really good stories. And a lot of them are available on Marvel Unlimited, but I'm actually buying the physical copies. Matter of fact, I own most of the first appearance. I went on this like tear a few years ago, and I found out how much I love the Inhumans, and I bought a lot of the first appearances of the Inhumans. Like, I have first Black Bolt, first Gorgon, first most of them all except for Medusa. Medusa's the only one I'm lacking. That's a key member. So I still need to go after that. I've been looking at that one from time to time. And so those are books I'm going after. But I picked up a Superboy 114, and it's such a great cover. I like love the way it's presented, and I love what's on it. It looks like it's got Kryptonian Phantom Zone criminals, and it says a cop is on the ground, and it looks like there's some Phantom Zone criminals, and the Phantom Ray projector is there, and the cop is yelling, "Superboy, are you mad? You're freeing the Phantom Zone criminals." And he tells the chief, it goes, "Can't help myself, Chief Parker. Something is forcing me to release this Kryptonian villains." So that should be a real joy to get into. And I don't have a lot of Superboy. I've talked about this. I'm missing a lot of Superboy. Supergirl, I have everything of proper, minus a few adventure comics. And obviously your first appearance. That was tempting to not, I mean, to bid on that one, but I could never get it for the price that I want it unless it's like good or maybe VG at the most, but you're looking at like $600 or more. So it's an expensive book for Supergirl. So I don't know if I'll ever get that. I may, but it would have to be like one of these huge collections coming into the comic shop kind of thing, and then him saying, "Oh, here's 50% off," and giving me a good deal on it. The book that I've been looking at in at the comic shop lately is he's got a, I would say near mint copy of Twilight Zone number one, the Gold Key. So I don't know. Do I want to go down another rabbit hole? I have no idea. But I wanted to mention that. And then I was just chit-chatting with him about comics because I had a really bad week. And it was one of those weeks that I usually have this philosophy, trust but verify. Like somebody tells you something technically in a different area that you're in. Like I'm software and a network guy tells me X, and then I had a briefing and I briefed, and the network turned out to be Y. And I learned my lesson. The lesson is always do your homework, even if it's not in your expertise, at least to make sure you get the right answer. So, and I usually go by this rule, it's trust but verify. You trust the person, but you verify for yourself, and you'd be happy. If you're in the tech industry, if you follow that philosophy, you'll be better off more than just trusting at verbally, because you'll be surprised into interpretation when somebody says something, does something like X. It might do something, but it's not really what you expected. So always do the trust but verify. If you're software, go read some hardware documentation, like kicking and screaming, but go do it and see if you can find out at least the what they're telling you is true. Just scan it and make sure everything's right. But I had a bad week, and I been putting in a lot of hours, and I left work early on the other day, and I was like, I'm just gonna go look through old issues and comic boxes, 'cause I was stressed out, and I was supposed to record. I had all these plans to record a DC, Mike M's DC Spotlight, and I've been enjoying that, but I haven't been able to prep. And I was gonna come home Wednesday. Wednesday is like a great day for me because Barb's in yoga, and I like to either record an episode or focus read something. And I was gonna do some prep, but my week has been so shitty that I couldn't. I wasn't in the mood to read. So I have two ideas for my DC Spotlight, and I'd like to get one out this month because I told people I'd be monthly, and I did two last month, and it looks like I have potential to miss this month. But I have an idea, and I think I'm going to try to read that. I'm going to try to prep for it tonight because I won't have much time this weekend to do much of anything. But if that gets going, check out my Mike M's DC Spotlight. There's two episodes out now. I think you'll enjoy it if you enjoy this particular podcast. But I was chit-chatting with Ed, and we were talking about barbecue and good places to eat. But I was asking, like right now at his store, his Marvel's gotten hot lately. Like whether it be Avengers, whether it be Thor, whether it be Amazing Spider-Man and the Red Goblin. He was talking about how hot they are, and I said, "Well, how's DC selling?" He says, "Well, DC does really well, but he wishes the books would be more regular, like with the Doomsday Clock and Metal, and which are both shipping, I think, next comic book day. So he's gonna get both of them, which he's real happy for. But what he says that happens at his store is that people are really loving it, and then when they skip a month or they lose the desire to go into the shop and get the next one, and he almost prefers like weekly series or something to keep the momentum going. So I'm wondering if like a lot of shops feel that way, like they need that momentum. So like when they talk to DC and they talk about Justice League, they're like, "Can you make it weekly?" Then they'll be maybe hungry to get the Scott Snyder Justice League every week, you know? Who knows? But he says that it really hurts the momentum in sales when they do the skipping of months, because he says people are excited, and then it's like, what's the next thing? Or, you know, Squirrel, but in a different medium. Instead of saying, "Well, I'll go in and pick up another comic," they say, "I'm not gonna even go to the comic store, and I might spend it at the movies, or spend it on video games, or something, or spend it elsewhere because that comic's not out." So, who knows? And let me see. There was one question I didn't pull for questions. I really need to pull for more questions because I don't have any queued up. I have one queued up for DC, the DC pod, but not for Mike M's Weekly Reads. But this one's from Drew from Comics for Fun and Profit. And he asks that he said he makes a statement that he's not clicking with Williamson's current Flash. And he says, "Besides the Mark Waid years, what are some of your favorite Flash writers and runs?" Mark Waid years were great, but you didn't mention the Geoff Johns years, and I think the Geoff Johns Flash years far exceed the Mark Waid years, in my opinion. And for the most part, since Wally was the Flash, that whole series is pretty damn good, and it started with like Messner-Loebs and a bunch of stuff, and that's all good stuff. And that's volume two of The Flash that came off of Crisis on Infinite Earths. I enjoyed most of that entire run. It started with M Mike Baron in Butch Geiss, and then it went to Messner-Loebs with Greg LaRocque, and that was good. And then Mark Waid took over for a long, long time. And then you had some Grant Morrison stuff. That I didn't care for that that much. It was Mark Millar and Mark Miller and Grant Morrison on that with Paul Ryan and Art. The art was amazing. And then I went back to Wade for a while with Brian Augustin, who was an editor. And I don't like when those two get together, Brian Augustine and Mark Wade. I don't think they write good together. It's like Mark Wade will script it and Brian will write it, or vice versa. It doesn't flow good for me. But Geoff Johns, absolutely fantastic. And then there was some Tom Payer, not too good. But for the most part, that second series is gold for Flash. On the first series, where I'm almost working on a complete run of the first series, but there's some expensive ones when you start with 105, and that's the first appearance of Mirror Master, and then you got first appearance of Grodd. But I have a good portion of the run from like 114 and up, and of that, I'm not a huge Gardner Fox and Infantino fan, but towards the end of his career, Infantino, when he was drawing with Kerry Bates writing, that's when I really got into the Flash. Right around Flash 222 and 221, there was when Kerry Bates started writing the Flash, and he almost started writing in the 70s, and Kerry Bates stuck with it, and he's almost like the most consistent writer all the way until they canceled the comic in issue 350. So he started in the 70s and then kept writing the series until 1985. So if you know me, and I've mentioned this on other podcasts, Kerry Bates, one of my favorite writers for The Flash and Superman. A matter of fact, Kerry Bates is what got me into Flash. If Kerry Bates didn't write The Flash, I don't know if he would have ever become my favorite character. And I'll be honest with you, it just, I mean, he was visually stunning and stuff, but it was Kerry Bates as a writer that drove me to Flash comics. And I'll never, unless I get really ill and I can't go to comic shops anymore and get my books or get them sent to me, and I can't read because I turn blind because maybe I get old, I don't know. I'll get the Flash. I'll get the Flash and I'll get the Daredevil. So those will be the books that, regardless of whether it's good, bad, shitty, or fantastic, I'm going to buy that book. I'm going to keep buying it. And maybe someday, I probably will never get that showcase. But maybe someday, I'm just saying, I will have Flash 105. That's 'cause really, I'm missing 105 through 116. I'm missing 118 through 121. And then I almost have everything else. There's some sporadic misses, but not a lot. There's not a lot of misses. Oh, I'm missing 175, which that is a Flash and Superman race, and it's also on the cover. I have this particular cover inside of my office because it was part of a calendar, and it has Flash saying, "Superman, I quit. I can't beat you." And Superman saying, "I finally got you to admit you're not the fastest man alive, Flash." And it says it's the rematch you've been waiting for. So that's one I need to get. I did focus a lot on the early first appearances, so I have most of them except for the ones that are real expensive early on, Gorilla Grodd and Mirror Master. I still think I need a Trickster. I got Heat Wave. Tio Morrow. Captain Cold was in the showcase years, I think, so I don't think that'll happen. I do need to get 135, though, which is the first appearance of Kid Flash. And that's pretty affordable. That's one I should really focus on. That my comic shop has 131. I'm missing that, but he had a nice copy, which I should have bought, and he had a really shitty copy, which he still has, but I don't want the really shitty copy. It's too beat up. I have certain criteria, not as strict as Chris Campbell, no way, but strict enough. So I've mumbled a lot, and I guess the next thing that I'll be talking about. Let's see if I answered that the entire question. Yeah, you talked about Flash Riders and Runs, and I beat that one to death. Then we'll be coming back in a few minutes if I have time, and I'll be talking about the books that I read for a particular week. I gotta go find the week and see if I can run through them real quick. So I'm going to take a pause for the cause, and I'll talk to you in a bit. All right, I am back. And I just had to total up the books for that week, and now I'm in May. How about that? May 1st, 2017 to May 7th, 2017. Again, the grading is 5, I love it. 4, I really like it. 3, I like it. 2, did not like it. And 1, hated it. And for that week, it was a really good distribution that week. At least I thought so. Heavy on the DC side, though. A total of 26. I had 3 Valiant, 2 Marvel, 4 Dynamite, 14 DC, 1 Boom, and 2 Aftershock. So let's start at the bottom. A 2 out of 5. That means I did not like it. And this is surprising because this comes around the time that I went on a Sam Keith kick with watching the animated Max. I watched the MTV. I bought the DVD off of Amazon, and I watched it while I was exercising. Fantastic cartoon, and I became infatuated with his art again. And then Aftershock came out with the book Eleanor and Egret number one, which is a woman and her bird steal a painting, and I didn't care for it. The art was fine. The story, you got to remember where I come from. The story has to drive the book for me, or I could have really, unless it's like somebody that I really really love, it has to be story first. Your mileage may vary. Some people prefer art. That's not me. But I could have a good story with bad art and still rate it really high. I could have a bad story and great art and rate it low. So that just tells you kind of my philosophy, where I come from, and other people are different. Really, in reality, to be fair, a comic is both art and its story, so it should be 50-50. I'm just telling you how I grade it. Because I grade it on how I emotionally feel about it. And my grades will be different than yours. And I'll tell you right now, I'm pretty much 70-30 or at most 60-40, unless it's somebody like I love, like Tom Scholey or some Kirby or something, then the story could be bad and I just blown away by the art, but it's very rare. So going to the 3 out of 5s, we had Harley Quinn number 19. Harley takes down a bunch of cannibals, and the mayor may let them go free. That was pretty good. I'm surprised I rated that 3 out of 5. I was liking that arc. That's where she had to pose as homeless for a while. Nightwing number 20. This is the finale between Dr. Simon Hurt and which. Maybe his first time back since Morrison had him, but I am not 100% sure. And Dick Grayson, and then you find out that the girlfriend that he was with was not pregnant as originally thought. Then we get into the 4 out of 5s. And how about this? This is a surprise because I normally think this is a 3 out of 5 for me, but there's a Justice League of America number 4 when they defeat the extremists. I must have really liked it. There was a, I had to look up what company this was from because it didn't register. I was like, what the fuck is this? But World Reader number 1, that's an Aftershock, where astronauts in space only discover dead worlds. The captain's upset because he wants life. Like a live world. The woman has the ability to see ghosts of who died on that planet. I enjoyed that one, but I guess it was on the lower end. Sovereigns, number 0 was a 00. Turok senses the end of the big black cat cloud. Magnus is a woman. Mighty Samson also detects the end. Dr. Spectre is a millennial who can't pay his rent. And this is a relaunch of the Gold Key books. It's the set. By Dynamite, but it's not the first relaunch, it's the second one. I never finished Sovereigns, but I need to get on that. I did finish the previous Gold Key launch. Superman number 22, this is Black Dawn, continues as Lois finds the whole town is out to get the family. Superman finds Damian and Jonathan in tubes. We have Green Lanterns number 22. Jessica and Baz in space to go to Mogo. Jessica has. I gotta get back on this book. Jessica's first time in space, and she has to go through a training. Aquaman number 22. Aquaman takes a nuke to Portal to break their friends free of the Deadwater. There's a vir the Deadwater virus, and Mara questions his ethics. We have Red Sonja number 1. This is the relaunch. One of the relaunches. Red Sonja captured by cops. This is when she's in modern times, by the way. That's why she's captured by cops and put in an insane asylum. And there's one cop that can understand her language. And the villain from the past is in our current time trying to kill Red Sonja. We have Exo Man of War number 2, 2017. He goes on another mission with a new group of characters. He does not follow orders and goes under instead of over. Oh, I don't know what I meant by that, but I remember. I guess when he was attacking this place, it was defended from above, so you couldn't attack from above, but he went underground and went underneath and was able to accomplish his goal. We have All-Star Comics number 58. This is the old one. Not the old one, this is like the 70s one when they revamped it. They continued the numbering of All-Star Comics from the Golden Age, and this is Star Spangled Kid given his the cosmic rod, because before that he had the belt, but he didn't have the cosmic rod of Starman, so that's very interesting. And we have Super Squad debuts to help JSA with Brainwave as he causes disasters in Gotham. And China and South Africa. So they're like, there's a bunch of natural disasters in China and South Africa. I hope Harley didn't throw up. I heard her choking. Oh, she just wants to go out. Come on. You go out. If you want to go, you go. Why do you keep knocking? You went for a walk. Oh, maybe it's because you have your walking collar and I need to take it off. I am drinking a Diet A&W cream soda. It's Friday, and I like Fridays. I feel like there's a weight that just lifted every Friday, unless I have to go to work on a Saturday. But tomorrow I don't, so that's good. That was a great All-Star Comics. We have Batman in the Shadow. This is the DC side. Batman investigates the murder of Lamont Cranston, that's one of the Shadow's aliases, only to find out he was killed by the Shadow. And this is like when he was a janitor, I believe. And the Shadow still exists, but in the Shadow is posing as Ducard, who actually trained Batman. This is a great series, by the way, Batman the Shadow. I have 3 issues into the Shadow Batman released by Dynamite. That one's pretty good. Bane Conquest number 1. I really was feeling it, and then I think I lost some interest in it. But Bane tries to protect Gotham from weapons dealers. We have Marvel Superheroes number 18. This is the first appearance of the Guardians of the Galaxy. Charlie 27, Martin X, Vance Astro, and Yondu fight the Badoon as they conquered Pluto, Jupiter, and Earth. Do I own that? I know I have a hardcover of this, but I want to look up if I have the real copy. Marvel Com Mar Mar What was it? Marvel Superheroes. Super Heroes Volume 1. No, it can't be can't be that, 'cause that's from 19. Oh, yeah, maybe it is. Number 12. I don't think I have it. Let me look at the number again because I forgot it already. It is number 18, and I don't have it. That sucks. I thought I bought it one year from Rich at North Carolina, but I guess I didn't. Either that or I didn't inventory it. And that's one title that I don't have any of, at least inventoried. But I do have that in hardcover. I just wanted to double check. So, I will look for that. That would be a nice book to have. A very nice book to have. I am losing my train of thought. So the next book was Fallen Rise of Captain Atom number 5. This is Captain Atom confronts Ultramax. Ultramax kills anyone who might have betrayed him. And Captain Atom meets his son, but he can't tell him. And this is the one that's by Kerry Bates, I believe. I don't know if I ever finished it. I need to find out. We have Flash number 20. Iris and Flash take down the remnants of the black hole. Mina is alive. She was believed dead. And at this point, like Flash, before she died, Flash was maybe gonna Barry was actually maybe gonna date her. And it says Barry lied to Iris, and she knows. I don't think the relationship was really strong in this. Green Arrow number 22, Green Arrow and Black Canary versus Cheshire, Fries and Brick. So some of characters, especially Fries and Brick, that are really prominent in Green Arrow's history. Cheshire is prominent because of Roy. Cheshire and Roy had a baby, which is not, I don't think they have a baby in this new universe, but they had one in pre-Flashpoint. Matter of fact, that led to Arsenal losing his arm, because he thought he lost his daughter. Oh boy. Okay, so where was I? And so it has Brick and the Fourth Horseman as they're destroying Seattle. So those villains were working together to try to destroy Seattle. We have Britannia, we who are about to die. I wasn't too crazy about the first series. This is the second. He investigates the murder of gods killing young Romans, the leader after Augustus, and the Vestral Virgins. That was a good issue. That's why I gave it a 4 out of 5. Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, The Big Lie. The boys being questioned for father's murder, and Nancy helping out the Hardy Boys. That was a really good issue. I need to get back on that. Grass Kings number 1. This is another one I really enjoyed. Two brothers in a small separatist county capture a kid trying to break in from a neighboring town, and there's a missing girl found by the drunk brother. This is really good. It's like a separatist colony, and then there's government involved. We have Action Comics 978. Superman works in the fortress to uncover the past, and the Revenge Squad is united. Another 4 out of 5 is Tales to Astonish, Volume 1, Number 13. I read this one because it was the first appearance of Groot, and I really liked it. And it's he's a villain. He's actually trying to conquer Earth. So the story centers around the humans, the scientist, and his girlfriend, who are trying to avoid the invasion. If I remember correctly, Groot was trying to take away a whole city and take them to the land so they could eat them or something like that. Oh, I missed one. So, I missed on my totals. I had one Titan comic. And this was not really a comic in the sense that you. This is a hardcover from Titan Comics. I've read both volumes on Geek Brunch. It's Monika, Volume 1, by Thindri Barboni, and the art, this is why I bought it, was Gilliam March. Absolutely loved it. And somehow I have an inventory twice. So I should fix that. I gotta find out what the real one is, because on one book it's listed as one and two, and then it's listed as a solo. But this one was Monika is looking for her missing sister, ends up with a controversial politician from the left, and that, you know what I mean, political view left, who likes sex clubs. Gilliam March is fantastic. Love this book. This was my first 5 out of 5. And then another 5 out of 5 was Archer and Armstrong, The Adventures of Archer and Armstrong 5 through 8. They're going to Archer's wife. They run across a circus of Armstrong clones and Russians that were genetically altered from Armstrong's finger. And that's where they meet that little fucking DNA generated looking Armstrong. This series gets beat up because of the writer, but I think he did a fantastic job, obviously, because I gave it a 5 out of 5. And his name is blanking on me, but people don't like his writing, and I don't get it. Rafer Roberts is the name I was looking for. We have Sword Quest number 0. This is based on an Atari game. A man's life is destroyed as he finds he has 6 months left to live and his apartment burns down. So he goes home to see his mom and sees the game from his childhood. A really good opening for that Atari-based Sword Quest. Fantastic back matter. Brilliant series. Highly recommended. Way better than Centipede, in my opinion. And I'm not, when it comes to games, I'd rather play Centipede than Sword Quest. A matter of fact, I never owned Sword Quest, but this comic was absolutely fantastic. And the back matter about the history of Sword Quest was fantastic. We have Batman number 22. This one is a 5 out of 5, my top read. And I'm gonna have to look this up because why did I love it so much? I'm usually not a Tom King fan. This is The Button, Part 3, Father and Son, and the Flashpoint world is brought to Bruce and Barry. They escape before the world collapses again. Reverse Flash has the button. So I'm gonna look up. Is this Tom King or is this Williamson? Batman number. Oops, I was in Volume 1. My bad. I need to be in Volume 3. Second, third, and I'm gonna go back to see what number that was. 22. 'Cause I gave it a 5 out of 5, and if this was a Tom King, I gotta give him props. Yep, this was the Joshua Williamson. Tom King scripted, Williamson wrote it, and that's why I could understand the words, and things made sense, and they weren't repetitive, and I loved it. So 22 got a 5 out of 5 because somebody else was putting the words together. He was using Tom's plot, which I've never had a problem with his plot. Had problem with his words. So a Batman got a 5 out of 5. How about that? And thank you for listening to Mike M's Weekly Reads. I want to point out and a shout out to a podcast. If you like this podcast, you should be checking out Nerdy Legions Comic Talk by Martin Ferretti, and I think you'll really enjoy it. A lot of the stuff so far is a lot of current stuff. Like he'll tell you what he's gonna pick as his hot books for the week, and then how they pan out during the week. He's got a rant one where they complain about particular books, and then sometimes he does news on it as well. But if you like my ranting, I think you'll like Martin's. So go to Nerdy Legion and check out Comic Talk. So that something to look for. And there's rumor that that a Valiant podcast is gonna have another episode. So if you knew I was part of a Valiant podcast, then there might be another episode coming. How about that? Long in the waiting, but keep an eye out for it. And that'll be on the Taylor Network. There's rumblings. Now, I may be on it, and I may not be on it. And it depends on when they decide to do it. But we're talking about the current events, probably, and what it means to Valiant as far as them getting purchased. I've already talked about it, but this is a way to brainstorm it with my brothers. So you might see that. You can reach me at mike@comicbooknoise.com. I am at geekbrunchpodcast. You can dot com, and you can leave notes there. You can also go to Facebook at Geek Brunch Podcast. Click the like button and follow the episode threads there. On the Twitter, I'm at Mike Myers Brunch. Please send me questions and stream them to me anytime you want on Twitter or Facebook if you're friends with me. And I will gladly get to them in future episode. When I get them, I tag them and I put them into a notepad so I'll remember them for next episode. Thank you, Drew, for the question about the Flash, and I look forward to more questions. So have a good one, and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.